Nigeria's Muhammadu Buhari, Algeria's Abdelaziz Bouteflika, or Zimbabwe's Robert Mugabe. Three different leaders who all have one thing in common. All are either on sick leave or out of the public eye because of medical reasons, and their health has sparked a flurry of rumours online. In Buhari's case, he's been in London now for more than 6 weeks, and questions are growing over his capacity to govern Africa's largest economy, explains public policy analyst Mukhtar Alex Danian.
The challenge is in Nigeria. In 2015, Nigerians chose to vote for an individual as opposed to voting for stronger institutions, which is kind of what Goodluck Jonathan represented. As an individual, Jonathan didn't appear as a strong man. For lack of a better term, he was weak as a leader, but institutions under him were allowed to flourish as best as they could. But Nigerians didn't want that. They claimed, you know, Jonathan was the epitome of corruption and anybody could do what they wanted. So Buhari presented himself as a strong man, the omnipresent father figure who was going to come and right all wrongs.
Yet since he came to power in 2015, Buhari has taken frequent trips to see his doctors in the UK, leaving his vice president, Yemi Osinbajo, to fill in the political vacuum left behind.
While we, you know, all well-meaning people obviously wish him well, health-wise, Nigeria has been suffering because when he is in Nigeria, nothing gets done because his attention to detail simply isn't there. His capacity to analyze things simply isn't there. And for lack of a better term, the country has come to pretty much a standstill when it comes to moving forward under his watch. So Nigerians are speculating because, one, they want to understand what's really going on. Is this strong man really not that strong? And two, you know, it's kind of like a death watch. Like, when is this man going to finally let Nigeria be? When is he going to go join his colleagues who have retired from office?
People are obsessed with Buhari's health because this is not the first time that a Nigerian leader has been sick in office. Former President Umaru Yar'Adua actually died in power after battling with kidney problems for years, but his death was revealed only months later. The physical condition of leaders, especially in Africa, is a taboo topic, even after they've long gone.
The truth of the matter is this. With this present administration, I personally don't think Buhari is dying. I mean, he's dying like any other human being is dying. In other words, he's older and, you know, but I don't think he's like on life support, attached to an ICU. But I do know that his health is not where it needs to be for him to govern a nation as dynamic as Nigeria.
Further up north in Algeria, speculation is also rife about the condition of President Abdelaziz Bouteflika. Last month, he cancelled a high-profile visit with German Chancellor Angela Merkel, becoming the first leader ever to do so. Bouteflika came to power in 1999 and is credited with ending Algeria's bloody civil war of the 1990s. In 2013, he suffered a stroke and was placed in hospital here in France. On social media, there are numerous conspiracy theories floating around, claiming he's dead and has been replaced by a robot. But in traditional outlets, journalists have less leeway, explains Amar, an Algerian doctor here in Paris.
The Algerian press is not independent because the biggest sponsorship deals come from the government. And if a newspaper wants to survive, it's obliged to write what the government wants and avoid certain topics.
Health and sickness is one of them. Reporting on the health of an African leader is virtually impossible.
You will be alive next year.
Leaders like Robert Mugabe, for instance, keep stumped when it comes to releasing any medical information. This week, the Zimbabwean president flew to Singapore for a new medical checkup, but for what? No one knows. The same mystery hangs over Bouteflika, says Amar.
There are no investigative reporters here. There are no journalists who will go and try and find the medical records of the president to really get to the bottom of the truth. No one would dare do that.
Since his stroke, Bouteflika has been confined to a wheelchair and is rarely seen in public.
I think he's very tired. I think he's really tired. I think he's incapable of deciding anything whatsoever while his brother and the other members of the ruling party are keeping him there for their own benefit. Because if he goes, there will be another civil war. It's a similar situation with what's happening with François Fillon right now. Today, if we get rid of Fillon, it won't be Alain Juppé who will be more credible, because the others will say he's done the same thing. Sarkozy, he can try. The younger members, Laurent Wauquiez, will try. Everyone is competing. If Fillon drops out, it will create a chaos.
Ne laissez personne vous priver de votre choix. Je vous demande de résister. Et plus encore.
So from Algeria's Bouteflika, who's hanging on by the thread, to embattled French conservative presidential candidate François Fillon. He's in good physical health, but says the media have killed him. Fillon this week hit out at the press for destroying him over ongoing allegations that he paid members of his family for jobs they didn't do. Political analyst Jim Shields, though, says the media are simply doing their job.
The first refuge of the beleaguered politician is to blame the media. In other words, to shoot the messenger rather than dealing with the message. François Fillon is a classic case of this, accusing the media of carrying out a political assassination on him. Had he thrown his arms up and been fully honest when the allegations against him were first aired, he would have left the media with nowhere to go with this story. Instead, he was evasive and things came out drip by drip by drip. In those circumstances, and with an important public interest at stake, the media are going to keep digging. Of course they are. That's their job. And if Fillon had meant what he said about the need to be irreproachable in high political office, he would defend that prerogative rather than denounce it.
Ceux qui briguent la confiance des Français doivent en être dignes.
During the Republican primaries, François Fillon marketed himself as a white knight, a man of high public morals. There was a famous occasion when, in the middle of one of his debates, he said, "Can anyone imagine General de Gaulle under criminal investigation?"
Qui imagine un seul instant le général de Gaulle mis en examen?
Which was a sideswipe at both Nicolas Sarkozy and Alain Juppé, both of whom have had serious brushes with the law. Those comments have now come back to haunt him. Fillon's attacks on the media and the French justice system have been compared to US President Donald Trump's criticism of the electoral system during his election campaign.
Trump seems to love nothing more than a good fight with reporters. But where this common ground, I think, between Trump and Fillon, is that both, in their own way now, are working to undermine the integrity of the media. It's happening in different ways in Washington and Paris, but it's happening nonetheless.
Covering health concerns of leaders, either physical or professional, exposes journalists to a whole host of challenges, from a lack of information to outright discretion, or in the case of Fillon, attacks on their credibility. How good in shape is your leader? It's a question perhaps some journalists would prefer not to know. You've been listening this week to International Media with me, Christina Rakello. A special thank you to my guests, Mukhtar Alex Danayan in Nigeria, Amar here in Paris, and Jim Shields online from Birmingham in the UK. And also a special thank you to my sound producer, Alain Bleu. And a special thank you to you for listening. Until next time, stay tuned to RFI.
Que voilà, c'est fini. Trouve un autre rocher, petite huître perlée. Ne laisse pas trop couler de temps sous ton petit nez, car c'est fini. C'est fini. Voilà. seulement bonjour et fais gaffe à l'amour. Voilà, c'est fini. Aujourd'hui ou demain, c'est le moment où j'aimais. Peut-être après-demain, je te retrouverai. Car c'est fini. C'est fini. Par me dire qu'on éviterait le pire, qu'il fallait mieux couper plutôt que déchirer. J'ai fini par me dire que peut-être on va guérir, et que même si c'est non, et que même si c'est con, que de toute façon, voilà, c'est fini. Ne sois jamais amer, reste toujours sincère. T'as eu ce que t'as voulu, même si t'as pas voulu ce que t'as eu. Voilà, c'est fini. Donc demain se dessert de s'être trop serré. La foule nous emporte chacun de notre côté. C'est fini. C'est fini. Voilà, c'est fini. Je ne vois plus au loin que ta chevelure nue. Même si je m'aperçois que c'est encore moi qui te suis. C'est fini. C'est fini. C'est fini.